Hi, I'm Paul Lisnick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle humps, ready to race to you. These days are
all... Such memories that music brings back. Theme song on one of the great sitcoms of all time, Happy Days. I'm sure you either grew up with it or you watch it now because Lord knows it's on everywhere. And you may be wondering what happened to some of those actors. Well, a lot of them, of course, still around, still doing their thing. But we're going to focus in with one of them, who is one of the stars of that show, but in a very different way. Because while we're going to remember those lovely happy days, that's not what this interview is about. This is about the dangers of driving on the road when you are too tired, a bigger risk than you might think. Joining me is Anson Williams. You remember him as Potsy Weber. I sure do. From Happy Days, one of Richie Cunningham's, Ronnie Howard's great friends. And now he's taken on this as a cause among all the other things he does in life. And I get to talk to him. Anson, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
When last you and I saw each other, you were in the WGN Morning News. You were singing. I was wearing a long cape playing piano behind you with our silly WGN band. And we had a great time. And you were really nice to play along with all of that.
Well, you guys are good musicians. That is so much fun. I mean, your show, that WGN show, is so unique and such a blast to be part of.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad you were there. But now let's do something serious. Here's the thing. When I first read about this, you know, the first thing you do is you say drowsy driving. You're like, oh, come on, it's not as bad as drunk driving and whatever. And then I got more into it, have a personal experience of my own, as I know you do. But the truth is, this is really a critical issue. This is National Drowsy Drivers Awareness Week, so we're focusing on it. What exactly, Anson, is this problem, and how serious is it?
You know, it's right up there with guns, drunk driving, and medicated driving. I mean, it is one of the most catastrophic problems in the United States today. It's a silent killer. Do you realize in 2012, the National Sleep Foundation did a detailed study. Then, 5 years ago, there were 168 million, I'll say that again, 168 million drowsy drivers a year in the United States. One out of five admit to falling asleep, so you know it's more. At least one out of five accidents are caused by it. $12 billion of damage. And more deaths, and families torn apart than drunk driving and medicated driving combined. I'd say that's pretty serious and pretty much a major problem in this country.
I know one of one thing the research shows is that if you just lose a couple of, you know, listen, everybody has those nights where you lose sleep and you got to get going the next day. What I didn't realize is losing just 2 hours of sleep is like having had three beers and getting behind the wheel.
Exactly. In fact, I don't know how they prove it, but the state of New Jersey and gosh, what is the other state? Oh my gosh, a southern state. I forgot it, but they have actually laws on the books now.
To do something about this.
Driving has this. Well, they have the same. It has the same penalty as drunk driving.
Wow. You know, I get. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, here's the thing. I think if this hasn't happened to somebody, and it's hard to believe that it hasn't because it's so prevalent, but I'm going to tell you a very brief story for me. When I was younger, in my 20s, I was practicing law in Chicago, but I was teaching down at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, about a 2.5-hour ride out of the city. And I would leave my office about 2:30, get down to Champaign around 5:30, stop for dinner, have some pizza, teach from 7 to 10, get on the road and head home and get home about midnight or so. Well, you know, hey, I'm a young guy. What's the big deal? I was always a little tired, but, you know, not a big deal. And then one night in doing it, I fell asleep. Fell asleep on the road, drove off the road. Thank goodness. And I had somebody with me. Thank goodness everybody was okay. But a trucker happened to come by and pulled us out of the ditch. You know, a trooper came by. And I got to tell you, and here's the reason I tell that story. Number one, it's not about being older or middle-aged or anything because I was young. And number two, you don't see it coming. That's what I can tell you, Anson. You don't see it coming. You just fall asleep.
I know. Well, it happened to me. By the way, just the most fatalities are kids aged 19 to 25. So it's not old. It's kids are not getting home from college. You know, families are losing their children. But it happened to me years and years ago. I was directing a show called Slap Maxwell with Dabney Coleman. Mm-hmm. And we were in the local desert here outside of Los Angeles, and it was a very, very hot day. I was exhausted. I'm driving home, and just like you, out of the blue, the next thing I know, I'm bouncing around in the desert. I immediately wake up, almost killed myself, just almost ran into this, like, horrendous cactus. Scared the heck out of me. And I don't know if people know this, but my uncle, well, he's actually my second cousin, but I've called him uncle since I was a very little kid.
I was going to bring this up. This is so cool who he is. Go ahead.
Well, he passed away last December 17th, but very, very close to me all my life. And that's Dr. Henry Heimlich, who invented the Heimlich maneuver. And Dr. Heimlich was a genius when it came to how the body helps the body, sensory connection and all this. And he tried to find very simple ways to cure things when he could.
I mean, the Heimlich maneuver, we might have some young folks who just don't even necessarily know what that is. If you're choking on something, I think we've all known people who have choked on food, when you're choking on something, it's a very simple method about how to just kind of hold somebody from behind and force the food out, and it saved, I'm sure, millions of lives. Simple method.
Yeah, well, he was in the Guinness Book of Records as saving the most lives in history of anyone by any one individual. But anyway, I told him about my experience of falling asleep, and he explained to me that if I cut up lemons and I kept them in the car, and if I started feeling tired, bite into that lemon hard, how the juice, which consists of citric acid and sour lemon, will explode and go on top of the tongue and hit the lingual nerve. And the reflex reaction of the body from the lingual nerve is adrenaline. So when citric acid and sour lemon hits that lingual nerve, you have instant wake up, instant alertness, because your body is giving yourself instant adrenaline, a simple reflex reaction from the lingual nerve.
And by the way, it's not just a lemon, right? There's something else you can keep in the car as well.
Well, no. What I wanted to explain how we got to that.
Oh, go ahead. Okay.
And what happened is, so for years, I would cut up lemons, and I really never had the problem again. It's just like a reflex reaction going to the doctor. Mm-hmm. They have a little rubber mallet, and they test your knee out and your elbows out. It's the same thing. Every time citric acid and sour lemon hits that lingual nerve, you're up, you're alert. Every time, same kind of reflex reaction of the body, sensory connection to tongue and brain. So during those years, as you know, Paul, I not only was in the entertainment business, I also went into the product business, developing, you know, numerous self-help, problem-solving products for the years. Well, a few years ago, really researching the problem of drowsy driving, which we talk about all these facts, I thought to myself, my God, I think we can save a lot of lives here. I called up Dr. Heimlich, and I said, Hank, what if we were able to get a real strong hit of citric acid, sour lemon, water, put in a little spray drop? What if we just spray the middle of the tongue and hit that lingual nerve? He said, oh, my God. He said, not only will that be more powerful than just the lemon, he said, you will save more lives than the Heimlich maneuver. Absolutely. This is a lifesaver. Do it. Develop it. Get it done. And we did. And it's called Alert Drops. And if people go to Alert Drops, ALERTDrops.com, not only will they learn all about Alert Drops and how safe it is, how natural it is, nothing in your system, no stimulants, nothing, just your body waking up the body. They'll also read about just how serious drowsy driving is. They'll read about Dr. Heimlich. They'll find out, you know, my story, why Alert Drops works, how important it is. They will see huge amounts of testimonials of the lives that have already been saved, families that have stopped. We have stopped major tragedies before they happen. We have stopped families from necessarily being torn apart. So because of Dr. Heimlich's brilliant knowledge of how the body works, we're able to take a simple, natural, old science, put it into kind of an easier way to be effective, and we are and save and stop, absolutely stop in its tracks. This unnecessary, catastrophic problem in the country, which is drowsy driving. We're having a problem with gun control. We're having a problem with people drinking. We don't need this. We can solve this problem very simply. And it's because of Dr. Heimlich and his knowledge of old science.
You know, I hear you. And actually, I didn't know that it had culminated in that in a product now called Alert Drops. Because what I was going to say is, you know, some people, if they, you know, who has a lemon in their car, right? I mean, who carries that around? So I was going to ask you about how you make it practical. You just did by talking about the fact that it's now in something called Alert Drops. But didn't your uncle also say you could have a lemon, but also a hot pepper? That would also do the same thing.
Yes, the two tastes that will do it. It's like, you know, jalapeno. You bite into jalapeno pepper, man, you're up fast.
Yeah, you ain't sleeping.
Same thing with sausage. But when we did our substitutes, when we first started, the pepper, it was just too much. It's just too much for people to take. And it actually was like too fierce and might even jar you too much, where the citric acid with sour lemon was by far more effective and much more comfortable for the consumer.
So this is the kind of thing you would keep this in your glove compartment, right? And then you're driving along, you got a long drive like I have when I go down to the University of Illinois, and you just kind of, if you even sense that you're getting tired, just put some drops on your tongue and you're awake.
Right. Well, not only that, people should have it in their purse, in their pockets, in the car. We're finding, too, we're stopping a lot of tragedies at work. There are a lot of late-night workers on heavy machinery or construction workers during the day that are getting exhausted, and a lot of construction sites are using it. A lot of hospitals now are using it. Doctors, nurses that need to be alert, that they can't afford to be drowsy. So it works any time you need to wake up. Any time you need to be alert, whether it's driving, whether it's your job. Kids are using it in the classroom to be alert in class.
Good point as well.
Yeah, because they doze off. And this is something they can use that's safe. Nothing goes in your system and can instantly make them, just have a lot more clarity and alertness.
Well, I got to tell you, and
so
I know
basically,
there's over 1,500 deaths as a result of this year, 71,000 injuries. I mean, this really got my attention because it wasn't just something I read about, but it was the fact that it happened to me. And the scariest part of it, Anson, was, as I said when I started this with you, I didn't see it coming. You know, you're tired. You say, I'm going to close my eyes for 2 seconds. It's an open road. There's nobody here. So, you start playing games with yourself about that very short nap you're going to give yourselves as you're driving 75 miles an hour down a road. But the bottom line is that when you fall asleep, you can't stop it. You don't see it coming. You just go.
And what's nice is, knowing you're a little tired before you go in the car, do a couple of little sprays in the middle of your tongue. And that we found that lasts. Everyone's different because of their own body and their own amount of adrenaline. But we found on average it lasts from 30 minutes to an hour.
Wow.
One or two sprays.
Very cool.
If you need some more a little later, you can take another spray. There's nothing there to hurt you. Also, it's almost 7,000 deaths a year, not 1,500.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so much for the research
really.
I found. But
and it's probably more than that because they can't really – they can't be that accurate.
Yeah, that's right, because you're not finding – that's true, because it's one thing. You can always tell when it's an alcohol-related death because you can do tests to find out. You can't find out when somebody's tired.
No. Either a passenger has to tell you or they tell you. I mean, a lot of people aren't saying anything, so it's pretty large.
Wow. Very cool. Well, this is really good stuff, and this is National Drowsy Driving Week, so we want to pay attention to it. A couple of other questions while I have you. First of all, was Dr. Heimlich kind of fun around the table, or was he like a serious guy?
Oh, my gosh. When I saw him a few times a year, because, he lived back in Cincinnati, the best, just a jokester. I mean, so much fun and just, so funny. And so selfless.
Good to know.
And he had the greatest laugh. He had the greatest laugh.
I love it.
Laugh.
I love it. And Anson, I can't let you go. Happy Days fans are listening in, so I just have to ask the question. Who are you in touch with lately? There's been some sad deaths, Tom and Aaron Moran, and I know you've lost some, but are you still in touch with your colleagues and friends from the show?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, Henry, I just talked to Donnie. He's like one of my best friends. He lives 20 minutes away. Ron is all over the place, but he's like a brother.
Yeah.
He's there for you whenever you need him. And he's just a great, great friend. Marion Ross. Gosh, we just went out to lunch. A few weeks ago.
She's like over 90.
She's 89
now, right?
Years old.
Wow. Huh? Really something. I wish I could look at, but she's doing well.
Unbelievable. Totally self-sufficient. totally drives her own car, totally does it. I mean, just an amazing woman, and just, you know, so positive. She's just such a positive person. And she has a new book coming out. I'm sure she'll be on your show.
I probably will talk to her. I hope you gave her some alert drops for her birthday because, you know, at 89, you're driving around. You better be taking alert drops.
I think her system doesn't need it. I think she's on, man, she's got more energy than I do.
I love it. Yeah. Well, Anson Williams, it's been great. So from Happy Days days to being the great businessman you are and doing so many different things, and it was so great learning about that when you and I were together back here at WGN. As I said, I knew about Drowsy Driving Month a week, and I knew about the lemon, and I did not know it culminated in what's a cool product that people can just get. So alertdrops.com, let's mention it. It's you're saving lives. Alertdrops.com, check it out.
Right.
Oh, I'm
going to
check it
out.
They can
go to Amazon.com.
Oh. Perfect. Well, I'm going to do it. Yep. I said, I drive around. I'm always tired on the road, to be honest with you, and it scares the heck out of me. So this just – this alone was worth talking to you today. It was really great. Anson, thank you so much. Let's stay in touch as always, and you will live on forever, man, through your television and movie career, but I think you know that. But thanks for doing some good stuff for people in the country and around the world. Thank you, my friend.
And thank you, Paul. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
All right. Wishing you happy days.
Now repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the band.
I pledge allegiance to the
and
band.
And I promise to give Mr. Sheevey full command.
I promise to give Mr. Sheevey full command.
And with me in control of the band as a whole, we will rock and roll with our heart and our soul. If you're in, raise your hand.
I'm in the band. I'm in the band.
Those are little kids, and they're in the band. They are in the band that comes to be known as the School of Rock. What a great musical, playing over at the Cadillac Palace Theater through November 19th. And I am just so elated because I get to talk to the star of that show who just lights up the stage, Rob Coletti, who plays Dewey Finn. You may have seen him in the past on Broadway in the Book of Mormon, but he's been around the country in so many different shows, 25th Annual Putnam, Spelling Bee, the original Grease, just such great stuff. But what I love about him most, Rob, as I turn to you, you are a Chicago boy, man. You are from here.
Sure am.
And you went to Columbia College, trained at Second City. I mean, no joke, you are Chicagoland born and raised.
I am, through and through. I grew up out in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, and I played baseball as a kid out there and kind of got bit by the theater bug in high school. And yeah, went to Columbia, did Second City. Yeah, I've been very lucky.
Yeah, and of course, you've got this, you know, you're in a kind of an iconic role in the School of Rock. Yes, this is for people kind of connecting it to the movie. Yes, it's based on the movie, which starred Jack Black. And you know, in this character for me, and so I have to ask you, I mean, you've done such great roles, but when people look at you, do you kind of, I know you connect to a Jack Black, even a John Belushi kind of character. Do you get that a lot? I mean, just you and your personality.
I get John Belushi all the time. He's from Wheaton, and my parents live in Wheaton now. And, you know, he did Second City, too. So the correlations are there. And, yeah, I get compared to him quite a bit, not even just on how I look, but how I act. And I take that as an enormous compliment. He's one of my heroes.
Well, it's a tremendous compliment, of course. And so School of Rock, which, by the way, people may not realize, and they're stunned when they do see it, to find out this is an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical, you know, like the Phantom of the Opera guy and Cats. This is different for him, Rob. This is not – I mean, if you're familiar with Andrew Lloyd Webber music, even Jesus Christ Superstar or you know, Joseph, this is rock. This is a departure for him, would you say?
Absolutely. I mean, there are certainly some shades of some great rock and roll in Jesus Christ Superstar, but
yeah, true.
This is without a doubt his most rock and roll score. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things we hear a lot in our feedback – is how infectious the music is. People leave the theater singing the songs all the time. And I'm really kind of flabbergasted that I get to bring this music to people.
So, and by the way, when we exit the interview, I'm going to play another song that it's the one that's stuck in my head, because you're absolutely right, the Stick It to the Man song. But I have to tell you this. So I was there opening night, and as I'm walking out, there's some people standing by the door. They're taking pictures and things. And they couldn't get the name of the song. As they're trying to pose, rather than saying cheese, they're saying things like, give it to the man, or take down the man, or so. And I went over and I said, dude, it's Stick It to the Man. Get the line right.
Yeah, the lyrics of the song are really, really meaningful to a lot of people. And, you know, I think that's one of the great things about it is that we all can view the lyrics of the songs in the show in so many different ways. But the show itself is really just a testament to the uplifting power of music.
Totally. Can you give a brief summary, just for people who don't know the story of School of Rock? Let me just have you give us the brief synopsis of what it's about.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's about kind of a schlub who's down on his luck. He's got a bad job in a bad band, and he gets kicked out of the band, and he loses his job, and he finds out he's about to get kicked out of his apartment. So to scratch up some money, he gets a phone call from a school and pretends to be his roommate as a substitute teacher, and goes into the school pretending to be his roommate, and hilarity ensues.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the roommate who really is a substitute teacher, we won't give too much away. He does eventually find out what's going on, the roommate does. But, yeah, you're like that roommate that nobody – the roommate, that house guest that nobody wants, because your roommate has actually, he's married, and you and the wife don't get along very well. Or a girlfriend, I think it is.
Girlfriend, right. But, yeah, the same difference, and, yeah, we really me and the roommate have been friends for over a decade. We're old high school friends, and I've been living with him my entire life without paying any rent.
Right.
And his girlfriend comes into the picture and starts to, you know, get upset and sort of puts her foot down and gives an ultimatum. You have to pay rent or you're out.
I love it.
So that's the impetus for him, you know, deciding to steal his friend's identity.
Right. And, you know, many actors will say, and you've heard this, it's an old adage, never share the stage with dogs or kids. You've avoided the dogs, but you sure don't avoid the kids. And I got to tell you, in this case, as much as you light up the stage and you really do grab attention because you just have this great appearance and great performance, the kids are amazing.
Oh, man, they're the stars of the show. And, yeah, I mean, I've heard that phrase now a couple of times since starting the show. But honestly, you know, I love dogs, so give me a dog anytime.
Right.
But the kids have been so wonderful, and their energy lifts me up every night. And they're so remarkable and talented and humble and excited to be here. It really just is there's none of the fear that I think some people associate with working with kids is present with our show. They're all so wonderful, and it's been just such a blast.
And you know what I love? When the show first starts, and they hit this right on, because the kids play. I mean, these kids become a band, whatever, and it goes on. And by the end of the show, they're playing very well. And you're sitting there, and everyone's wondering, are they really playing? There is an orchestra there, so maybe it's the orchestra. They're not really playing. And what I love about this, Rob, is that at the beginning of the show, when they're telling you to turn off your cell phones, they also say, and people wonder whether these kids are really playing. And the answer is, yes, they are. How great to know that from the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah. No, they do. And they're all so good at it, too. You know, I've said a couple of times now, some of these kids are better at their instruments than some of the adults that I've played with over the years.
Were these kids musicians first who then came into the show? Or did any of them sort of want to be actors and then needed to learn an instrument to be in the show? Do you know anything about that casting part of the process?
I think for the most part, they're kids that were instrument players, that, you know, just musicians that also had just the desire to act on the side.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the casting process things that I know they go through is just finding authentic kids. They don't want people who are put on and are overacting. They want real, genuine kids who can play their instruments and appear natural on stage. And we have a couple of kids who have experience professionally. You know, the girl who plays Summer was in Matilda on Broadway, and the guy who plays Billy was in the Newsies National Tour. So, you know, there's a little experience, but for the most part, the kids have never done anything like this before, and it's so surprising because they're all so wonderful.
And, you know, you kind of see that, like, curtain call, the kid that plays Zach, whose name is Phoenix Schumann. There's something about him as well, incredible guitar player, but you have this sense that he's kind of new to the acting thing and just really enjoying all that comes with the notion of performing. And of course, when you work with them, you know, you're a seasoned veteran. You're working with Lexi Dorset Sharp, who plays Rosalie, the school principal, seasoned actress. She'd been in Young Frankenstein, Adam's Family, all sorts of things. So is it difficult as seasoned actors to work with these kids? Is there any sort of we've got to get them up to speed, or it doesn't work that way? Everybody's just kind of ready to go.
Yeah, no, not at all. Honestly, they all look up to us so much. And you know, the fact that I am in this role with them kind of hanging on to all the things that we do is not something I take lightly. You know, it's a responsibility that I'm really proud to have, and I'm super honored that they feel about me the way that they do. But I feel about them just strongly. We've really become a little family.
So
working with them has just been a joy.
Yeah, it's just so great. And of course, the folks who have to, I mean, even some of them like Lexi, who plays the principal, she goes through that's kind of a really great transition. I mean, it's kind of really a stick in the mud kind of a person at the beginning, and then she kind of finds her way. Probably the beginning, it's a little hard to believe when you walk in and your character, Dewey, is who he is. You'd have to think in the real world, some teacher somewhere would go, is this guy for real? But Dewey just kind of pulls it off.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of the joke of the show. There's a running theme that Rosalie continues to bring up that, you know, we heard music coming from your classroom again. You know, she walked in on him teaching E equals MC squared
right.
to kids. That's clearly not something that's at their level. You know, so there's sort of like a, you can feel that the dishonesty is going to catch up with him at some point. But I think that's also one of the best running jokes in the show. It's just that Dewey is sort of utilizing his ability to think on his feet to skirt by, but ultimately ends up helping these kids in doing so.
Yeah. And so many characters go through kind of a transformation. Your roommate, Ned, who's played by Matt Bittner. I mean, he's that dorky little substitute teacher look, but by the end of the show, I'm not going to give too much away, but by the end of the show, we realize there's another Ned inside him, right? His girlfriend, well, she's kind of stuck in the mud all the way through, but there's these people who have to go through transitions, and Dewey just kind of goes through life, man. You've got these financial issues, but you're just trying to enjoy life and just figure out a way to get through it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, quick shout out to Matt Bittner, who is, in my opinion, one of the finest actors I've ever worked with in my entire life. He's so good in such a very small and underappreciated role. But I think the most important thing from this story is that, you know, Patty is right about everything. And the audience kind of is hidden from that because we want to root for Dewey. He represents our inner child, and he kind of like is the excuse for us to recognize the things that we want to be true to
yeah.
and who we really are. But Patty is right about everything. You know, she's the one who puts her foot down and says, you're stealing from your friend. You're letting your life pass you by. We can't be responsible for your failures. You have to be the one who recognizes that. And at the end, Ned is sort of the first person to make Dewey remember that, you know, just because you've done some good doesn't mean that we can forget about the bad. And, you know, I won't give anything away, but that's sort of what creates the pivotal final moment of the show.
And done in such classic Andrew Lloyd Webber way, with just music that sticks with you and incredibly talented people, and that's the way it's all about. Now, you're doing the national tour here. Where do you go from Chicago?
Well, next we're doing Milwaukee, and then we hit all up over the Southwest Coast, or Southeast Coast over the winter. Then we hit the West Coast in the spring, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Denver. We're very excited about our schedule. We get some really wonderful cities.
But now while you're here, do you get to stay with your family? I mean, do you get that home time?
I do. I get to see my family while I'm here, and I'm going to Portillo's as often as I can. I'm going to go to Pequod's Pizza and get a big deep dish.
Now, wait a minute. What about Bert's Pizza?
Pequod's is the top of my list.
So
I'm a Pequod's kid.
Oh, no, that's okay. Are you familiar with Bert's? I was not. So
I don't think I am.
Okay, so Bert's. Actually, the Pequod's Pizza is based on Burt's. They got it from Burt's.
Oh, the original out in the burbs.
The Morton Grove, the original.
Yes.
Now, Burt passed away, but he sold his place to a couple of lawyers. And so it continues on. But I would just thought I would, because I never knew that. But apparently the people who love Pequod's, they end up saying, but if you've had Burt's, you're like also back at the original. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh, yeah.
I want to make sure you're enjoying the great pizza while you're home.
In my humble opinion, Pequod's Pizza is the best pizza in the country.
Yeah, I love that caramel crust, I got to be honest. Well, it's a great show. It's only until November 19th. I say that because you don't want to waste time. There's no extensions. It's got to move on. But I have to ask you, I know the shows you were in, but just to see how close I am to type, were you Elder Cunningham in the Book of Mormon?
Yeah, I sure was.
And were you Barfy or Barfay in 25th Annual Putnam?
You got it.
I know exactly how to cast you, Mr. Coletti. I know exactly who you're playing, and you're just great. I mean, you really just, as I said, light up that stage. And even though you're not competing with the kids, but kids just grab so much attention. But there's no taking away from you, just the great job you did, and the whole cast. It's really an ensemble effort. People can get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com, and you only have till November 19th. The music is great. The performance is great. It's at the Cadillac Palace Theater, so you make a night of it downtown. And I'm all about Chicago theater, as all my listeners know, and I'm all about really enjoying the fact that I got to talk to you, Rob. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be back home in one of the best theater cities in the world.
I'll meet you at Pequod's.
Oh, sounds great. I'll see you there.
All right, we're gonna go out playing "Stick It to the Man," the song that, as my listeners listen to it, good luck getting this song out of your head. Thank you, Rob Pelletti. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.